Good evening. Thank you for coming to the second and final shir on the halachas of making early Shabbos. Just to review what we did last week, we talked about the idea of Tosefes Shabbos. The Gemara says explicitly that Rav davened Shabbos davening on Friday afternoon. So that's the source that, obviously, if you daven Friday night davening, Shabbos davening, it must be Shabbos. So that's the source in Shas, in the Gemara, where you could... That tells us you can make early Shabbos. How early can you make it? We pointed out that the earliest time that you could accept Shabbos, and of course Daven Mariv, is Plag HaMincha, which is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. So on a 6-to-6 day, that would be 4:45. And we told the story that happened in this room a few years ago. Rabbi Maybrook came and some women came to Daven when they were making early Shabbos, which was, Mincha was a few minutes before Plag, and women had come, and he told the women that if you're here, you probably lit candles already, so you lit before Plag, go home, relight the candles with a bracha, because lighting before Plag, HaMincha, is not lighting, and the bracha was meaningless. We also pointed out, a little bit complicated last week, that the Mincha that you daven Friday afternoon should be before Plag HaMincha and accept Shabbos after Plag HaMincha. We're not going to go into those details. Then we finished off with a very important halacha that talked about the question, can you have your seudah? We said you could daven, you could accept Shabbos when it's still Friday, but what about actually fulfilling the mitzvah of having a seudah, a Shabbos seudah, before Shabbos on Friday? So we said there were different opinions, and halach lemaisa, the way the Mishnah Berurah comes out, one should be machmir to make sure that they have a kezias of bread after dark. So again, halach lemaisa, if you make early Shabbos, leave some room in your bellies when you're eating the challah at the beginning of the meal, realize that you want to have a kezias of challah at the end of the meal. So just keep that in mind as you calculate your eating velocity. That was where we ended, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's begin new things this week. There's a general... Actually, before we begin new things, I just want to tell you about another way. I finished off last week, and we'll talk about that for about 1 or 2 minutes now. There's another way to make early Shabbos. The way we know of making early Shabbos is everything just starts an hour and a half earlier. Mincha's earlier, Kabbalah Shabbos is earlier, Marv is earlier, meal is earlier. That's what we are familiar with. There is an alternate model, which has a few advantages. We'll talk about a disadvantage or two as well. What's the problem with the way we make early Shabbos? One problem is that Kriyas Shema, well, it's a problem not for you, but for me. Why? Because women do not have to daven Kriyas Shema after dark. Men do, right? Just like you don't have to wake up for Kriyas Shema in the morning and I do. Well, I have to say Kriyas Shema at night and you don't. So for me at least, Kriyas Shema should be after dark, and when I make early Shabbos, I'm saying Kriyas Shema while it's still light outside. So that's not so ideal. And in fact, we're not going to get into it, but there are even questions and opinions who say that I shouldn't recite the brachos of Birchas Kriyas Shema, meaning I should skip half of Mariv rather than say it early. Okay, we don't usually do that, but that is a halachic issue. So, there's a new model of accepting early Shabbos, and they do it in a few communities. I know in Lakewood, when I was in Yeshiva, there were people who did it. In Eretz Yisrael, people might do it, but I've never seen it in locally. But it goes like this. You daven early mincha. Let's say 1:30, 2:30, 4 o'clock, you daven early mincha. Then plaga mincha comes in. So you're sitting in your living room on your couch. You say Kabbalah Shabbos at home. Kabbalah Shabbos does not have to be with a minyan. We'll talk about the sources for Kabbalah Shabbos in a moment or two. And you say Kabbalah Shabbos on your couch, you're Mekabel Shabbos. It's not Shabbos. Well, what do you do when it's Shabbos? You have a Shabbos meal. You have your Shabbos meal at, let's say, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And then at 8 o'clock, the later minyan in town for Mariv, the men could go to Mariv at 8 o'clock, which is when it's already dark, and say Mariv regularly and the proper time, after dark, Kriyas Shema Balayla. And this way, you have sort of the best of both worlds. You have your early night for the kids, or the adults who want to go to sleep early, and you have the men are reciting Kriyas Shema when it's late at night, as Kriyas Shema ought to be. That's a different model of making early Shabbos. Again, just having Kriyas Shema, Marav davened after the meal. The two questions are asked on this. this way of doing things. And again, there are many people who do this. Magen Avraham says you could do this. Many people do follow this. But Rosh Hashanah has two issues with this model. First of all, there's an interesting Rambam who talks about how to spend your Shabbos day. Basically, it's like a roller coaster, or better yet, a seesaw. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Shabbos goes like this. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. Chatzi Lashem, Chatzi Lachem. You daven Mariv, you have your meal. You daven Shachris, you have your meal. You daven Mincha Shabbos afternoon, you have Shalosh Shudas. Back and forth, back and forth. That's the model that the Rambam sets out for what my Shabbos should ideally look like. But wait, according to this new model that I just suggested, I'm not doing the right order at the beginning, at the first step, because first I'm having my meal, and then I'm going to shul for Mariv. So I don't have that model of first for Hashem, then for me. First for Hashem, then for me. That's one problem. Another problem is that the Gra writes that when the Gemara talks about having your meal before Shabbos, having your meal early, it talks about you could daven early, and then it says have your meal early. So the Gra understands that because you daven early, then you can have your meal early, but only after you davened early. So we're going to put this aside. Two opinions, two models. Let's forget about that. Now, let's talk about, I mentioned in passing, that you daven Kabbalah Shabbos on the couch. What's the deal with Kabbalah Shabbos? When did it start? How old is it? We all know that it's not as old as the rest of davening. In fact, the reason why the Chazan, if you look in every single shul you'll ever go to, the Chazan does not say Kabbalah Shabbos from the Amud in front where he's supposed to daven from, rather from the Bima where they lay. Why? By doing that, he's showing that Kabbalah Shabbos is not a real tefillah. It's different. The proof in the pudding is the fact that I'm not davening from where I'm supposed to be davening, from the front of the shul, rather from the bima where we read the Torah. That's all shuls do that, unless there's some architectural reason why they don't. So I always thought that Kabbalah Shabbos was created in Tzfas, and I'm partially right. There is a source though in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Chanina, I don't remember who it was, would go out to the hills, I don't remember if it says hills there, but it's not, they went out to the hills, but Rabbi Chanina, I think, I don't remember exactly who it was, he would go with his Talmidim to greet the Shabbos Kala and say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. So that accounts for how we know at least the last line of Kabbalah Shabbos, the last line of Lechadod. That's already from the Gemara. Did they do other stuff? Did they say other Mizmorim and Tehillim? Maybe yes, maybe no, we have no idea. But at least that one line, that concept of Kabbalah Shabbos, we have. Historically, it's very old. That's 1,800 years old. What I was happy to find that I didn't know about is that Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos that we say after L'Chadodi and Hashem Malach, that other short Mizmor that we say after L'Chadodi, that is actually very early also. That's from the time of the Rishonim. The Rishonim didn't just write commentaries on Halacha or Hashkafa, they're actually Sidurim from the Rishonim. They wrote the Siddur, and sometimes they have Halachas there. So there are a number of Sidurim of the Rishonim that say that they would have this Mizmor Shir and Hashem Malach at the end, before they would daven Mariv. Finally, the Arizal instituted saying the Mizmor before Lechadodi, which is L'David Mizmor L'David. That, right? That's the Arizal himself. His Talmud, Shlomo Al-Kabetz, that we've, I think, pointed out in the past, he wrote L'Chadodi. And then all the other things in the beginning, the four Mizmorim in the beginning, those were the Talmidei HaRizal later on. So again, chronologically, the earliest is Boi Chala, Boi Chala. Next is Mizmor Shir and Hashem Malach. Next is Mizmor L'David. And finally, the latest thing were the beginning of Kabbalah Shabbos. So, between you and me, I didn't see this anywhere, but just, I think, logical, if you come late and you have to skip, better to skip the first four Mizmorim, because chronologically they came last, and therefore I assume halachically they're least significant. Yes? Great point. Yeah. When it's Shabbos and Yontif, there are different customs. One custom is to say certainly the first and the last of the Chadodi, and then that's the minute. Oh, they say Mizmor, right. If it's Shabbos Yom, they say Mizmor Shir and Hashem Malach. That's because those are halachically the most founded, except again for Boi Chala, which is from the Gemara, so maybe you should say that also. Okay, I don't know much about Nesach Sfar. I'm not in any which way prejudiced. Okay, so there would be up to that. Thank you. Okay, so that's a history lesson. We'll put the history behind us. Now, let's get to some new things for today, just in time. When I have a mitzvah to do, whether it's the morning, whether it's the nighttime, I'm not supposed to get involved with other activities. For example, halacha is, in the morning before I go to shul, again, me because I have to go to shul, because I have to have a zman of tefillah and kriya shema, which women do not have, thank you. But for a man who has zman of kriya shema and tefillah, I'm not supposed to do laundry before I go to shul in the morning. Erev Shabbos, there's a heter, because it's l'chavad Shabbos, I'm allowed. But regularly, I can't do laundry before Shachris. What's a mitzvah in the morning that women are also mechiyavos in? Megillah, right? So if a woman is mechiyavos in Megillah, she presumably should not do malacha. I think, I don't remember seeing it inside, I just don't recall. Presumably she ought not do malacha in the morning before she hears Megillah. She shouldn't do laundry, she shouldn't start cooking, but that's hard to imagine because you have to cook for Yontes. Maybe it's Tzarech Hayom, you're allowed. But that's what ought to be. Friday night, I make an early Shabbos. When did I say Kriya Shema? The sun is shining. The sun is blazing outside. When is Kriya Shema supposed to be recited? Uvashach b'cha v'kumecha. Uvashach b'cha v'kumecha. Right, Uvashach b'cha, when you lie down at night. Kriya Shema for a man has to be said a second time of the day at night. So therefore, my Kriya Shema during the daytime didn't really count. What am I about to sit down and do? I come up from shul, again, I go to shul from mincha early, I daven Kabbalah Shabbos early, I daven marv early, I come home from shul and have a meal early. What did I not yet fulfill? Kriya Shema. I have a mitzvah d'oraisa to say Kriya Shema, and once I have a mitzvah d'oraisa to say Kriya Shema, I'm not supposed to start sitting down for a meal. Why not? Does anyone know why not? Why you're not supposed to start a meal right before you have a mitzvah to do? When is the chiv to do a mitzvah? Anyone else? You might get distracted. You might elongate your meal, and once you have your meal, you'll get involved and fall asleep maybe, or just forget to do your mitzvah. So, I'm not supposed to start a meal before I fulfill my mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And therefore, listen to this. This is a halacha I never knew, and perhaps you never knew either. If you get home, or whoever you're having the meal with, I guess this applies to men because men have the chiv of saying Kriya Shema at night. So if there's a man in the invitees of the meal, and you get home and it's within a half hour of nightfall of Shkia, theoretically you're not really supposed to start a meal if there's a mitzvah coming up within the next half hour. That's considered a close amount of time that we're scared you're going to get distracted and not do the mitzvah that you have. And therefore, there's a halacha I never so practiced, I never heard about until this week in your merit. If a person gets home from early Shabbos, within a half hour before Shkia, they should l'chatchila not start their meal, because you're not allowed to start a meal when there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. The Mishnah Berurah says that those who are mekel, they have al milismoch, there is what to rely upon, but that's if you want, you know, hopefully we'll find the kulit for tonight, but at least if you're looking for a chumrah, that is a chumrah that is suggested. So if you're ever in control of the timing, try to either start eating before half an hour before the meal, or if you get home within a half hour of nightfall, then wait a half hour, or whatever's left, 15 minutes, you can always shmooze and sing Eshes Chayil and sing Shalom Aleichem. You know, I always count, sing Shalom Aleichem three times. But sometimes we lose count, and you know, one gets two times, one gets four times. So if you lose count on all four stanzas, you end up saying each one four times. That buys you another few minutes, and you can see how many tunes of Eshes Chayil you know. And by time, and a little bit before you know it, half an hour has passed, and it's already Shkia, and you could start Kiddush. Yes?
Kriyat Shema, when he said, does not count as Kriyat Shema.
Excellent question. Excellent question. Does Kriya Shema al-Hamitza count for fulfilling, for a man's fulfillment of his chiyuv d'oraisa of saying Kriya Shema? Obviously, if he says all three parshios and he has kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of saying Kriya Shema at night, then it will count. If, however, why do we say Kriya Shema at night? I think we say it for like a shmirah, to protect ourselves of some sort. My son, Menachem, was having nightmares. So I think we told him, we said, okay, I have to say Hamalach. Ever since then, he is so careful to say Shema and Hamalach. You know, he could be jumping around and doing what and not listening to anything I say, but when I get to Shema and Hamalach, he's very, very careful. Then Moshe, my little one, also said he had dreams about bad things, so I said, okay, you have to say Hamapil. So he's the only one who knows Hamapil. The other ones don't. My oldest son doesn't know Hamapil. Moshe knows Hamapil. And Baruch Hashem, it seems to be working. So, from Mipi Olulim Vion Kim, something or other. The pasuk that says the power, that the kalach of tefillah of a baby. So, it works. Okay. We have one added point that's applicable specifically now during Sefira. I told you that within a half hour, if you could sort of start your meal either before a half hour, so early that it's before a half hour, which often you could if you make early Shabbos. There's plenty of time left till Maariv time, till Kriya Shema time, so go ahead, start your meal. If it's within a half hour, try to wait that half hour. But b'di'evet, and you know, people are lenient, it's okay, there's somebody to rely on, and you start your meal anyway. That applies to Kriya Shema. Because l'maisa, you did say Kriya Shema at Maariv, even though it was early, but you did say Kriya Shema after Plak HaMincha, which, you know, at least some opinions hold is something. But what about Sefiras HaOmer? If you davened early Shabbos, and you didn't count Sefiras HaOmer at all, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema. It's machlokas with a mitzvah d'oraisa of Sefiras HaOmer. It's a machlokas nowadays with Sefiras HaOmer is d'rabbanan or d'oraisa. So I think on my shiur that I gave about a year ago, I think here, we talked about why Sefiras HaOmer should be d'oraisa or d'rabbanan. So why should it be d'oraisa? Let's start with the other one. The other one's easier. Why should Kriya Shema be d'rabbanan? What? We're not in Israel. And if I was in Israel, then it would be d'oraisa? Okay. I don't know if that would be correct. Sefiras HaOmer. Why is Sefiras HaOmer only d'rabbanan, according to those opinions? And therefore? Correct. Therefore what? What? You can't bring the carbon to Omer, and therefore? One last point. Yes. The Torah says, you shall count from V'sratem lachem Mimacharas HaShabbos Miyom HaViyachem Es HaOmer. Count Sefiras HaOmer from bringing the Korban Omer. Well, if I didn't bring the Korban Omer, what am I counting from? So there's nothing to count from on a d'oraisa level. That's what some opinions say, that Sefira nowadays is d'rabbanan. Others say there's a separate pasuk that says that you should count 7 weeks. And I could count 7 weeks. Doesn't say anything from bringing the Korban Omer. So, according to that opinion, it is d'oraisa. Either way, I have a mitzvah of saying Sefiras HaOmer, which I didn't do yet, at all. And this mitzvah is incumbent upon me. I'm not supposed to start doing something else before I do my Sefiras HaOmer. So there, it sounds like during Sefiras HaOmer, at least, we should wait that half hour. Again, if it's before a half hour of Shkia, half hour before Shkia, so you can start your meal. And then when the time comes, you'll count. But if I already... And within that half hour of Shkia, I should really wait and count Sefira first, and then start my meal. Yes. Kriya Shema, at least I did say Kriya Shema earlier. And according to some, I was okay with that Kriya Shema that was after Plag. But Sefira Shema, I didn't do anything earlier. Good question. I don't think you have to wait until Tzeis. I think after Shkia, that would be sufficient. Certainly if you want to start your meal. It's a good question.
Well, how come at the Seder you say that?
I don't know the answer. How come at the Seder the custom is that people who aren't in shul say Sefiras HaOmer afterwards? I don't think that doesn't make sense. Maybe because there are other mitzvahs that are d'oraisa to do. Haggadah is d'oraisa, matzah is d'oraisa, mor is only d'rabbanan nowadays because we don't have a Korban Pesach. but you have dinim d'oraisa to do at the same time that you have a mitzvah of Sriyas Omer, which the way we pass, and most paskim hold, it's only the rabbanon nowadays. So if you have two mitzvahs in front of you, two options. The Seder has two mitzvahs d'oraisa and a d'rabbanon, and Sriyas Omer is a din d'rabbanon. You're right, it only takes 12 seconds. But at the same time, just you have to do one before the other. That's my only idea. I have no idea. I never saw it on the slide. That's my thought, yeah. Correct. We're talking about somebody who does normal early Shabbos, goes to the early Shabbos, Mincha, Kabbal Shabbos, Maariv Minyan, and then comes home. Correct. That's what most people do in the week early Shabbos. Right.
How come saying Kriyat Shema earlier is not like a bracha l'tzala? I mean, without the bracha.
The Kriyat Shema psukim, that's not a problem. You mean the bracha is next to it. That's a good point.
Because you can only say it at a certain point.
I think it's because we're relying, if you remember last week, it was a little confusing, there was opinion, there was a machloket in the Mishnah, there was Rav Yehuda, who said that nighttime starts at Plag HaMincha. So according to Rav Yehuda, it is already night, once it's Plag. So according to Rav Yehuda, we're going to rely on Rav Yehuda to say that early Kriya Shema, and therefore say those brachos. But you and I, when we carry back Kriya Shema, we want to, it's a din d'oraisa, so we want to fulfill it properly, so we're going to say it later also. But at least according to Yehuda, it's enough that I'm allowed to...
If you forget and don't say it, then you're still technically...
Technically, according to Yehuda, you did. But again, it's a question of a d'oraisa, so...
It's better to repeat it.
Yeah, don't forget. Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. If you go to a 9 o'clock minyan shachar shachris, and you know, let's say Kriya Shema is early based on whatever time of the year it is, so the rabbi will give a bang on the bima and say everyone should say Kriya Shema before the zman. Right, because it's part of tefillah. Oh, that's another point. She's saying maybe it's just a part of the tefillah, even if you say it at the wrong time, it's still part of the tefillah. I hear that. Not sure. Yeah. Good. Okay. Now we're going to get into the more exciting things. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam she'hakol nehiyah b'dvaro. But I have to ask you, do you first want the story or first the halacha that the story is based on? Which one do you want first? The story and then the halacha, the halacha and then the story?
Story.
I knew it. Okay, so the story goes like this. It's a true story. I don't think I said it last week, but tell me if I did. I was in yeshiva on Wednesday or Thursday, a week that's about a week and 4 days ago or so. And there's a new fellow davening mincha in the yeshiva, and he asks me, is there an early minyan on Friday for mincha? And did I tell the story? No. Okay, good. New story. Hot off the press. And I didn't even make it up. And I say, sure, there's an early mincha, and just being friendly, like, what do you need an early mincha for? Or maybe I wasn't so nosy, maybe he just offered on his own. He said, my wife teaches in a high school, a Jewish girls' high school, women's high school, and they have a Shabbaton at one of the camps in the Catskills, and I'm worried that I might miss mincha there. I don't know what the traffic's going to be, so I want to make sure I had mincha early. So I told him, wait a second, you might have a bigger problem. The second, that camp is going to make early Shabbos, because it was, you know, say Shabbos at 7:30, so if you're going to finish Maariv at 8:30, if you want to run a Shabbaton, it's not so convenient to start your dinner at 8:30, dinner's going to be over at 10:30, you don't have time for a night program. So they're going to make early Shabbos, and he's worried he's going to get there late. I told him the following. I told him, listen to what I told him. That was the story, now you have the halacha. The halacha is, I told him, Imrov HaKohal Kiblu Aleihem Shabbos, if the majority of the community accept upon themselves Shabbos, Hamiyut, the minority of that community, Nimshachim Acharehem, are drawn after them Al Korcham, against their will. That means that there's a community where there's a Rov and a Miyut, a majority and a minority, and the majority of the community makes early Shabbos, the minority is drawn after them. And therefore I told him, based on this halacha, if you're going to be going to this camp, and let's say it's a women's school, so therefore there are going to be the husbands and if there's the husbands of the teachers, or maybe male teachers, and some children who are above bar mitzvah, they're going to have a minyan there. And if they are That's the only minion in town, because Camp Achenu or Reim or you name whatever camp it is up in the Catskills in the middle of April only has one minion for miles. So Shabbos will start when they start Shabbos, when they make early Shabbos. And therefore, I'll continue what the Shulchan Aruch says. I'm just reading straight Shulchan Aruch. A person comes to a city on Friday afternoon, and the people of that city already accepted upon themselves Shabbos, even though it's still light outside. If he has money or any items on his body, he should let them drop. So, he's going to be driving into Shabbos zone. Because they made early Shabbos. When he goes into that camp where they made early Shabbos, you know, happened for the whole camp. Because that's the majority. And he's going to be driving into that. That's not allowed. So therefore my conversation ended, why do you want to daven early mincha? Anyway, you have to get there before they accept Shabbos. Because once they accept Shabbos, you're worried you're going to get there late? Well, you're not going to be able to come in. You have to leave your car outside, maybe. I don't know how you'll carry your stuff in. You look puzzled. You never heard of this, right?
What if he has no choice?
Right, okay, so we'll talk about things. Now, that is the chumra, now we're going to talk about some coolers. Yeah.
You can drive up until like the opening of the camp, and then you have to drop the car, or you have to drop wherever you are when they accept Shabbos.
Oh, you're not part of that community yet, but till you could get up to the gate, and then you're going to have to get out of your car. Yeah. At 5:15, while the sun is bright and shiny, of an hour and a quarter till Shkia. Yeah.
But if the camp has two minyanim.
Yes, that's correct. So that the Mishnah Berurah points out, that if there's a community, a camp doesn't usually have that, but if there's a community, all communities do have it, bigger communities like, you know, around here. If you live in a small town, you might not have this luxury. Bungalow colonies, you don't have this luxury usually. Camps and bungalow colonies are where the real problem is. Because it's summertime, so Shabbos is very late. And it's a small population, so they usually have one minion. It's usually an early minion because people want to make it convenient. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if there's a city that has lots of shuls, so even if one shul has 800 daveners, and the other shul has 20 daveners, and the 800 daveners daven earlier, so we said before you follow Rov, no. Mishnah Berurah says it doesn't really mean that, it means if that's the only shul. But if there are other shuls, and there's one small shul that still is going to daven later, and make a late Shabbos, you could attach yourself to that small shul, and make a later Shabbos. And therefore for you, the people in that city are not bound by the mass of people who are making the early Shabbos. That's great if you live in a city where there is a late Shabbos. But again, in a camp, in a bungalow colony, you're going to be in trouble. I will just give you one very convenient kula that you could use all over, that we talked about in Hilchas Muktzah a few months ago, and it just came up again in a Mishnah Berurah regarding these points. If you are caught in general, let's say you come into the bungalow colony, and you're carrying your wallet and your cell phone and your, let's say, some other mukta things, and your iPhone and your all your other things, and your camera and your
iPhone.
Thank you. And they're on your body, they're in your hands. The halacha is that once you're already carrying them, you're allowed to continue carrying them because they're already in your hands. I think we probably mentioned that in passing. It was a little more complicated than the way I'm presenting it. But basically, if that will happen, again, we're talking about there is an Erev, let's say. If there's no Erev, a different question. But let's say you get into the camp and you have stuff on you, and Shabbos did start and you're stuck. You entered Shabbos zone with stuff on you, or whatever the case might be. You're walking, you get off the train at Shkia. You got late, delayed at work, there was a late meeting, and you got stuck in the tunnel for 40 minutes, and you get out of the train at Shkia, so you're in the Erev, you're out of the tunnel, you know, the A train, or you're out of the train station, you're in the city, you're on the street, and then Shkia, but you're still carrying your wallet, your pocketbook, your all your stuff. So halacha is that you can continue, for things that, well, it depends what kind of muktzah is, but for most things, you can continue carrying it home. Most things. There are some exceptions, but you could continue carrying your stuff home once they're in your hands. Yes.
I don't know if you've already addressed this, but what if you are living in the same household? So let's say the husband goes to shul.
That's next topic.
Okay.
Yeah, why did I put it here? I'm still here. Thank you. So that is a halacha that people don't realize, that they're going to be drawn after the community if, again, there's only 1 minute in that community. Hold on with that idea. We're going to find the leniency soon, a very important leniency, but I want to raise another question. In fact, Abby's question. Yes, before Abby's. Okay, Shabbos starts, we said last week, Shabbos starts when halacha l'maisa regarding cuticles, it's important to know. Shabbos begins when you say bo'ichala, bo'ichala.
Right, so if you don't know what time that, if you get to, you're not late to a camp, you don't know what they're up to, you don't know when they actually accept Shabbos.
Do you know what time mincha was called for? So if you know what mincha was, it's 10 minutes from mincha. It's 2 minutes to start late, plus 10 minutes from mincha. Then Kabbalah Shabbos till till Vayichal is another time. So you have about 22 minutes. If they start later than late, then you have 24 minutes. If you have no idea, I'll give you a better kula soon. Okay. Now let's talk about the main thing that I think people came for this series, this two-part series. Do you have to follow anyone in the house does anyone accepting Shabbos bind you? If your father accepts Shabbos, does that bind you? If a person's husband accepts Shabbos, does that bind her? Is the children bound by his parents? Or is everybody like a free-for-all? Everyone does what they, when they want to accept Shabbos, they accept Shabbos. Or no, is it based on the family? So here, before we talk about that, I want to clarify one thing. I think we mentioned it last week, if one person accepted Shabbos early, they made an early Shabbos, we said that they could tell other people to do malacha for them. They could tell a guy to do malacha for them, they could tell another Jew to do malacha for them, because they accepted early Shabbos. The same thing is true Motzei Shabbos. Let's say you and your friends like singing at Shalosh Shuras, and you want to sing with the lights off, but the lights are on, it's Shabbos. So you could continue singing. At some point, Seisa Kochavim comes, it's time for Shabbos to finish, but you guys are having a great time singing. So one of you could say, Baruch Hamavdu Mekodesh L'chol, and turn off the lights, or you could even ask your friend, do me a favor, turn off the, do you mind saying Baruch Hamavdu and turning off the lights for us? Even though it's still Shabbos for you, you didn't make Havdalah, you didn't say Baruch Hamavdil, you can ask somebody, again, once the time is up and you could say Baruch Hamavdil, you could tell somebody else to say Baruch Hamavdil and do Malacha for you. Now that we put that aside, let's talk about when somebody makes early Shabbos. So let's talk about it like this. Let's say a husband made early Shabbos. Is his wife bound by the husband's early Shabbos? So we have a little bit of a discussion. When I say the word a little discussion, that usually means it's machlokas, which is correct. The Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, writes clearly that it's pashut that a wife is not, bound by her husband's accepting early Shabbos. Could a husband make a neder? Could a husband make a promise? A neder is an oath, but that you'll have to do something or can't do something. Let's say a husband says that he hereby accepts upon himself not to eat chocolate chip cookies anymore. Okay, so he's not allowed to eat chocolate chip cookies anymore. That's a neder. But does he have the right to say, I hereby make a neder that my wife can't eat chocolate chip cookies anymore? He has no such right. So if a person wants to be Mekabel Shabbos early, they say, a husband says, I'm Mekabel Shabbos early. Does that have anything to do with what the halachas that are bound on his wife? Absolutely not. He can Mekabel Shabbos early. She could continue doing whatever she needs to do in the house to get ready, to cook, to shower, to use a blow dryer, and set the lights, whatever else she wants to do. It's not Shabbos for her. That's what Moshe Feinstein says. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein points out it's not so simple. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that if the husband is part of a community that accepts early Shabbos, well, that's like a minhag to accept early Shabbos. And a wife is bound by her husband's minhagim. I'll tell you a cute story. My brother married somebody who's sort of related to the Soloveitchik family. Sort of related. I mean, when I say sort of, I really mean sort of. And it happens to be that the Soloveitchik family is very makpid about not eating yashan, which is not an easy chumrah, because half the year you can't eat the things that you want to eat. And it was very lucky, because my sister-in-law, who's from this family, and whose family always kept yashan, married my brother, and our family is not makpid to only eat yashan. However, let me tell you about a different brother before I get to the however. I have a brother, and my brother has the same minhag as I. We eat gebrachts. We eat matzo balls at the Seder. We eat leftover matzo balls after the Seder. We have cream cheese on matzah. We eat lots of gebrachts. I have a brother who married a family where they don't eat gebrachts at all. They don't even put a slice of cheese on a piece of matzah. So, when my sister-in-law from that other family married my brother, she accepted upon herself his minhagim. And therefore, she was now able to eat gebrachts, because that's a minhag. And minhag, the halacha is that a woman follows her husband's minhagim. So therefore, she was allowed to start eating gebrachts that she never had had her whole life. Back to my first sister-in-law. My first sister-in-law, the one from the sort of almost related to the Soloveitchiks, who are makpid not to eat yashan, those who are makpid not to eat yashan, that's not because of minhag. That's because they hold that that's the halacha. And when it comes to halacha, a wife doesn't follow her husband's halacha. They follow what halacha is. Halacha is halacha. It's not minhag. It's not my family custom is this. When it comes to yashan, those who keep yashan most of the time, it's not because that's their custom, it's because that is what they assume was the halacha, or might be the halacha. And therefore, my sister-in-law, who from the Soloveitchik family that keeps yashan, married my brother. She did not have the luxury now of joining a family like mine, the Orlean family, who are not makpid on yashan. She had to continue keeping her, I don't say the word custom, her halacha that her family followed, of being concerned that one has to follow the halachas of yashan nowadays. And once his wife was already keeping yashan, my brother figured, you know, he might as well, So my brother started keeping yashan at that point. That's because, again, it's not that he's bound by her halacha. He's not bound by her halacha, but she's not bound to him in terms of halacha either. Minhag, however, what? I don't know. I mean, in the house, they obviously keep yashan, but I'm not sure. Right, but the father accepted it as, I assume, as a chumrah, not as because he was convinced that is the right halacha. Meaning the kids can't be more chumrah than their father. If their father's only doing it as a chumrah, not as he's assuming it's the real halacha, so the kids at most could be only as based off their father's chumrah. So I don't know though. Meaning, I have to ask my nephew. Okay, so if the husband is part of a shul, a community where they accept early Shabbos, that's a minhag. It's a good minhag, right? More kavod haShabbos, more Shabbos. We like Shabbos, Kedusha, Hashem, God, Smiras, food. We like all those things. It's a good thing. It's a minhag tov. If it's a custom of the community to make early Shabbos, though, it's a good minhag. And in terms of minhag, the wife does follow the husband. So therefore, Moshe comes out that if a husband just wants to make early Shabbos, just accepts early Shabbos upon himself, she's not bound by him. He can't tell me what to do. Correct. But if it's because he's part of a community that accepts early Shabbos, it's like a minhag, then she will be bound. However, listen to this incredible distinction that Rav Moshe Feinstein suggests. Says Rav Moshe, that's only if the community accepts early Shabbos for what impetus, for what motivation, for what reason? Because they want to do Tosefes Shabbos, because they want to have a good minhag. Because they want to have more Kedusha, because they want to be careful not to violate Shabbos, God forbid, because they want to have more holiness, not because they want to make it a convenient time to put the kids to bed early. Not because they had a long week this week and they want to get to bed early. not because they like having their dinner while it's still light outside, which is the reason why we all make early Shabbos. I don't mean to be so mean, but Rav Moshe Feinstein himself says it. But nowadays, in our countries, where we all do it just because it's convenient, not because it's halachically ideal or it's spiritually appropriate to make early Shabbos. So that's not a conveniences are not minhagim. We make early Shabbos. If my shul makes early Shabbos, is it a minhag to make early Shabbos? No, it's a convenient for those people for whom it's convenient to make early Shabbos. So the husband happens to go there. So my wife is bound by what I do because of a convenience. That's not a minhag that she's bound by. So therefore, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, if the custom of the community is not based on a real custom of covered Shabbos, but just for convenience, that's not a minhag. And therefore, the wife does not have to accept Shabbos when her husband accepts Shabbos. Therefore, according to this Rav Moshe Feinstein, basically, for all intents and purposes in our communities, in North America, and I assume everywhere else, pretty much also, unless there are some unique communities here and there, where early Shabbos is a convenience, that's not a minhag, and therefore a wife is not bound by her husband's early acceptance of Shabbos. Rav Moshe sticks the dagger in deeper. He says, I'll prove it to you that we only do it for convenience. What's the best proof that we only make early Shabbos for convenience? Exactly, says Rav Moshe Feinstein. We only do it in the summer when it's convenient. If you really held so strongly about making early Shabbos, to take Shabbos an hour and a half early, so I want to see you at 3 o'clock in the middle of the winter making early Shabbos. We don't. That's the proof, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, that it's a convenience thing, it's not a religious ecstasy attempt, and therefore it's not a minhag, and a wife is not bound by her husband's acceptance of Shabbos. Based on this logic, Moshe comes to another halacha. You remember we said about 10 minutes ago that when you come into a community, the minority has, that person who comes to that bungalow colony is locked in to the community's Kabbalah Shabbos. Moshe finds and says the same exact point. When will that person be drawn, sucked into the community because they made early Shabbos? When they made an early Shabbos for spiritual reasons. For chumrah, not to do malacha, God forbid. For religious purposes. But if they just did it for programming convenience, because you have a camp with 200 little kids and you want it to be not so late for them, not to be past their bedtime because you're going to have to deal with them tomorrow, that's not a real... It is Shabbos. The Shabbos halachas are binding. But that's not something that's going to bind the person who comes into that community. And therefore, that was the end of my conversation with this fellow. I told him, don't worry. Even if you do get there after the community, after your wife's camp, your wife's school has their Shabbaton, making early Shabbos, and you pull in 20 minutes after they already accepted Shabbos, you're okay because of this Moshe Feinstein's tshuva, who says that if it was only done for convenience, just like it's not considered a minhag for the husband and his wife isn't bound by him, so too, the yachid, the individual, is not bound by the community's early acceptance, because again, it's not an acceptance because of religious, spiritual motivation, but rather for convenience. And therefore, this one point of what is your motivation for making early Shabbos has two applications. A wife will not be bound if it's just for convenience, and B, an individual will not be bound to the community when it's only for convenience. Yes?
Does the same apply for adding on at the end of Shabbos?
Excellent question. No. Excellent question. I actually just cut and pasted that halacha a few hours ago. I believe the Shulchan Aruch says somewhere that when it comes to Motzei Shabbos, an individual is not bound by the community at all. That even if the whole community keeps late Shabbos, you're not bound by that. Like, let's say there's a shul that takes forever to, having long Shalosh Shudas. So you're not bound to have, to make Havdalah when they do, I believe. Right.
And then
you could continue. Right. You could continue.
Even when he comes back, I could light candles.
So that's what Rav Moshe Feinstein does sound like he's saying that. Let's speak this out. So what we just read is that in our communities where early Shabbos is nothing more than a convenience, no impressive intentions and kavanos when we make early Shabbos, just convenience. So the wife is able to continue cooking, continue, you know, showering, blow drying, and light candles. Where the husband came home from shul, he didn't come home from shul. She couldn't care less. He's his life. I have my life, and everybody has a life. Wonderful. It happens to be that most rabbis say, and again, I didn't see this. Moshe Feinstein does not say it, but most rabbis do say that the woman should light candles and accept Shabbos before the husband comes home from shul. Where do they get that from? I didn't see it. Maybe there's other sources. I'm not familiar, but that's what they do say. I actually have a friend who has a cute system he works out with his wife. Again, he follows, in his community, they try that the husband shouldn't come home if it's still not Shabbos yet. After, again, he daven mincha, kabbal Shabbos and Maariv, still light outside. He comes home, and his wife is like still vacuuming and didn't light candles yet. So that's, based on what I said, what most Rabbanim say is they want the family, you know, when the husband comes home from shul, there should at least be Shabbos when he gets home. So she will either leave the door closed or open. If the door is open, that means she lit candles, he could come in. If the door is closed, then he sits on the stoop until it opens. And then, okay, that works very well for them, Baruch Hashem. Life is not so easy, my friends. In the past, we have quoted, and we will quote again, a tremendous, tremendous posek, the Shmuel Halevi Vosner, in Bnei Brak, who is still alive as well. Hashem should give him strength. He's probably 100 and something. He wrote the Shas Tshuva Shevet Halevi, which we have quoted here numerous times. And he is, again, in the top, I probably said last time, in the top, probably in the big top five in terms of the poskim of our generation, probably in the top three, probably. It's probably Rebbe Yashiv, Rebbe Vadia, and him. So he's, you know, class A1. The Shevet HaLevi Revoz argues every point I just told you from Moshe. He says, Moshe said, why should a woman be bound by her husband? Shevet HaLevi says, of course a woman is bound by her husband. And Moshe says, well, everything should depend on how the community, what the reason for the community is in accepting Shabbos. If it's good motivation, then it's binding. If it's bad motivation, it's not binding. Shevet HaLevi says, what are you talking about? Shabbos is Shabbos. I don't care what your motivation is. If you accept Shabbos, so it's Shabbos. And if a husband accepts Shabbos, so his wife is bound to accept Shabbos. If a community accepts Shabbos, I don't care why they accept the Shabbos, but Shabbos is Shabbos. Halachas of Shabbos are all applicable, and therefore the individual is drawn after that community that accepted Shabbos. And he basically argues in every single point that Moshe was makelin, he is machner. Let's just do a little bit of math according to this opinion. This opinion, Rav Vosner says, that when a husband accepts Shabbos, his wife must accept, by default, is accepting Shabbos as well. That means she has to light candles before that. So let's just do a little math. Let's say, this week, regular Shabbos is around 7:30, 7:35. Let's say Plag HaMincha is around 6:15. So Mincha will be called for 6 o'clock. They'll finish Mincha by 6:15. They'll start Kabbalah Shabbos. They'll get to Bo'ichal around 6:25, right? 6:30, let's be generous, 6:30. So that means by 6:30, the wife has to light candles before that, before her husband would accept Shabbos, because at 6:30 is already Shabbos for her. So she has to light by 6:29. What's the earliest she could light, my friends? 6:15, at Plag HaMincha. So she has, according to this opinion, it's a big chumrah. It's a big chumrah. There's a window of 14 minutes in which she's allowed a light. Not before, because it's before Plag. Not after that, because it's Shabbos already. Because her husband accepted Shabbos. That's quite a chumrah. That's quite a chumrah. It's quite a chumrah. So, I assume most of us have the convenience of living in America, and therefore be make like Moshe Feinstein, who's our posik for America. I think it's fair for us, you know, if you want to be machmir, you're entitled to be, and light candles in that 14-minute gap between the big starting at Plag HaMincha and ending with when the husband, you know, says Boichala, that's 12 or 14 minutes. If you could do that, you know, all the power to you, but it's probably not so convenient, especially Erev Shabbos is always busy. That's just the nature of Shabbos. I will add one point. That Moshe says, even if a woman will not accept Shabbos when her husband accepts Shabbos. She's not bound by her husband. But during that time, after he accepted Shabbos, and she's still cooking, setting the lights, doing her hair, showering, during that time, she should not do his malacha specifically for him. Meaning, if he's the only one who eats pacha, that's a good one, right? So she shouldn't, like, she's never not going to touch the pacha. The kids are scared of it. They just call it slime. And she, but her husband likes pacha, so she's going to make pacha. That should not be the time when she makes the pacha. If it's for the whole family, so she's not doing malach for him. But for the family, that's fine. So again, according to Ramosha, a woman is not bound by her husband. She could make, she could do as much malach as she wants until it's time for Shabbos. Except during that time, after he was Mekabel Shabbos, before she was Mekabel Shabbos, even though it's not Shabbos for her, and she can do malacha, she should not do malacha specifically for him. Yes?
Food.
I'm sorry?
Food. Okay, food anyway.
So I qualified by saying pacha specifically, because that's the kind of food that sometimes men might like, and women might stay away from, and children might stay away from. For example, like in my family. Right, but it's for him. If it's a malacha for him, you're right, if it's for the family, it's fine. But if it's a specific malacha for him, let's say turning on his nightlight, let's say he likes to read, and turning on a nightlight for him, if that would be the case, that would be a problem. But just doing malacha for the family, for herself, that's totally fine. Yeah? Oh, you're right. Let's talk about that. So the father went early Shabbos, and the mother lit early Shabbos, and you have this recalcitrant daughter, this rebellious daughter, who wants to wait another hour. That's a very important question. That's a very, very important question. According to the Vosner, it's obviously a problem because the father is kaveh for the family. According to that, and therefore will be bound, so I assume the child will be bound. I did see it inside. Even Rav Osner says that a child is not bound. Is that something about a katan? Rav Osner says at the very end of the tshuva that was being machmir, that was saying that a woman is bound, he says, and you, the questioner, were uncertain, what, according to the Igros Moshe, what would be the din by a katan whose father accepted Shabbos if during that time the... Oh, no, that's something else. That's a very important question. According to Moshe, the wife doesn't have the... The wife's acceptance is not... Yeah, according to Moshe, it sounds like it should be okay. Right? Because according to Moshe, why does the husband's acceptance have anything to do with her? So I assume that logic applies equally to the children. I think.
Isn't the mother lighting?
Oh, but you're saying, but now the mother also lit. So... Does that... No, I don't think you could accept for... You can't light candles and accept for yourself and not, like... You can't, meaning... You can't accept Shabbos for me. You can accept Shabbos for you.
Right, so like, that's a roommate situation.
But here, where both parents are, I have to... I think there's Rama who talks about it. I don't remember what he says. That's a very, very important question. I'd appreciate if somebody would text me, for real. And I'll try to start with that next week, whatever topic we do.